Live Better and Longer with The Fitness Show, hosted by fitness expert, author, and TV personality, Fitz Kohler. She'll tell you why diets are dumb, supplements are snake oil, and the truth about how you can earn a lean, hard, pain-free, and athletic body. Now for our favorite bossy blonde, Fitz Kohler.
Hi team, I am Fitz Kohler, your fitness expert from fitness.com, and welcome to the Fitness Show. So I'm really excited about what we're going to talk about today. We are going to talk about some of your questions and the intricacies of weight loss. I think many of you have really grasped the exact formula for weight loss, are working with it, but you still have questions, and I always have answers. So if you have not already listened to the podcast on the exact formula for weight loss, I encourage you to do that. If not, go straight to fitness.com. That is F-I-T-Z-N-E-S-S.com. Search exact formula for weight loss, and that's where you will find it. For the most part, what we're talking about is a formula that teaches you how to eat the right amount of the right food for the size you want to be. You're going to figure out what your goal weight is, put a zero on the end. That's your daily caloric budget. So if your goal weight is to be 147 pounds, your daily caloric budget max should be 1,470 calories. If you do that, your body will shrink down to the place you tell it to. It's obviously a little more tricky. Well, it's not really more tricky than that. There's a grander explanation. But like I said, go back, listen to the exact formula for weight loss podcast or search it out on fitness.com. It's easy to find. And if you read it, and if you really, it's just 5 minutes, it will change your life. I guarantee you, it will change your life. I just spent the weekend with some of my favorite folks that train with me virtually from around the country, around the world. I serve as race announcer for many events, and I was the race announcer for the Detroit Goddess Half Marathon 5K and 10K this weekend, produced by Epic Races. These events are amazing. I wish they would hire me for every race of the year. They're wonderful at what they do. They provide outstanding courses and just a really happy environment. And the people who show up are the best people on the planet. And I also feel the best people on the planet thing for the other races I attend, but there's something really special about this Goddess series. So I had a lot of fun in Detroit, but I was able to meet in person some of the people that take part in my Hottie Body Facebook Challenge group on Facebook, and you're all free to join. It's free, and you're welcome. But I was able to hang out with people who have been using my formula and training and doing the things I tell them to do. There's Rob Stewart. He's down over 40 pounds. Oh, my gosh. This is, I think, since February of this year, and he was a big guy. He told me he had a heart attack many years ago. That I didn't know. But you look at his before and after picture. Rob in December, Rob today, night and day difference. Now he looks like a gym rat. He looks like one of those bald, fit, tough guys who make muscles. He's amazing. And he does marathons and half marathons. And it was such a blessing to be able to finally wrap my arms around him, give him a hug. He had his beautiful wife, Nikayla, there. We spent some time. Carol DeYoung was there. She's an absolute ray of sunshine. She's not trying to lose weight, but she's trying to get fitter and increase her running capabilities, and boy has she ever, a really total ray of sunshine. I've got Shelly Wilbur, who's down 10 pounds, and apparently Shelly is good at running late, but she's also great at running. She ran her first 10K, and I was very proud of her, although I missed her coming through the finish line, which I will regret till the day I die. And then my Stefaniacs, that's Jason and Katie. They are two of the most loving married people I've ever met, and they have supported each other through Jason losing 60 pounds. Katie's over 30. They have increased their running capabilities, and they're just wonderful people. So it was so nice to me to be able to get that one-on-one time. But I tell you, our Hottie Body Fitness Challenge group is so close that I actually feel like I've been in the room with them many times. It didn't feel unusual to be around them. It felt like home, and that's one of the greatest gifts my profession has given me is my friendship and relationships with all of you out there, because I really feel like you're a big part of my life. So, wow, that was fun. And then I got to meet all of these other amazing gods and goddesses who just took part in the event, and it was fun. You know, it's just fun to be in a crowd of people who are energetic about being fit and accomplishing great things. And, you know, it's men and women, and elderly folks and small children and babies being pushed and black people, white people, Hispanic people, Asian people, all the people out there running. And it just fills up my heart, you know, because I like people and I like people who are trying to do better for themselves. And I got major hugs. I like the hugs, apparently. And my girl Golden, who showed up, she had posted a sneaker on the Goddess Racing Facebook page about a week before the event, and she'd bedazzled it with all of these little crystal stones. And I said, oh my gosh, you need to come out. I'm going to call you Cinderella. You need to come introduce yourself to me. And of course, I'm easy to find because I'm noisy and I'm on a stage. And she did. And not only was she wearing that glass sneaker, but she was in a full-blown Cinderella gown. And just what a fun thing to do. And she added a lot of spunk to the race, and I was proud of her. I had just met her that day, but when she hit my finish line, I was oozing with pride as though I had anything to do with it, which I totally did not. But if you're in the Michigan area, definitely look up Epic Races. They put on, I think, over 30 events throughout the year. There's only three that are part of the Goddess Series, but the rest, I'm 100% sure, are fantastic as well, and you won't be disappointed. So we're going to talk about weight loss. So we've got the exact formula, you know that, but I get a lot of questions that are chronic and common, and I just want to share some answers with those. And here's the deal. I know that my delivery is abrasive, and so brace yourself. I don't mean to be mean, and I certainly don't speak aggressively because I don't care about you. Quite the opposite is true. I desperately care about you and desperately want the best for you. And so I'll do my best to explain things scientifically and rationally and sweetly when I can. And then sometimes, you know, I'm a little bit rough and tough and aggressive, and I do that on your behalf for your benefit. And I coach a youth soccer team, and I love these kids desperately, and they have stayed with me for years because of that. But I am stern with them, and I coach them in a way that drags the best out of them, even if they're being difficult kids or unsure of themselves. I drag the best out of them. And sometimes I yank them off the field if they're not running. If they're not running and they're supposed to be running, they go, yo, you're off the field. Time to sit on the bench and think about how to play in a way that benefits the team. But then I love my kids harder and more aggressively than any other coach I've ever seen. I hug them, I praise them, I love them, and that's why they stay with me. And so that's what I want you to prepare for, because some of these topics I feel pretty intensely about, and I don't sound like a sweetheart, but I hope you know that my intentions are sweet, and if I have to shake, rattle, roll you to death to get you to do the right thing, well then, I'll do it. So I was asked, you know, I get asked often where people say, well, I lost significant chunks of weight for the first few weeks, but now the scale hasn't moved in 2 weeks. Well, that happens. I wish I could tell you that the weight's just going to fall off day after day, week after week, and it's going to be an awesome ride. And if you stay the course, you will get to where you want to go. That's really the theme, is stay the course. If you are telling your body to be smaller by feeding it less, it will eventually become smaller. But it's one of those things where I'll have a client lose 7 pounds in 1 week, maybe a big client, right? And then they lose 4 pounds. And then the third week, they lose 5 pounds. And then the fourth week, nothing. And the fifth week, nothing. And I wish I had a quality explanation for why our body just decides, meh, not letting it go. But it just is what it is. But sure as hell, when that person sticks to the formula by week 6, the weight's falling off again. So give your body time. I mean, some people say your body's just trying to adjust. Don't make excuses for it. It just is what it is. And so, you know, it was a hell of a lot of fun when you put that weight on. Yeah, we didn't use a lot of discipline. In fact, we ate some extra and we didn't care. We were really relaxed and lackadaisical about life. That was a hell of a lot of fun. Well, you know what? Losing weight requires work. And yep, you're going to do it on a daily basis. And some mornings, some moments are going to be extraordinarily fun when you see that scale move and you can celebrate. And then on occasion, the scale's just going to stick. And maybe that's the world's reminder to you that gaining weight sucks and losing weight is great. And you got to keep working for it. And it's worth keeping it off. Because if you remember those moments where the scale goes up and you're miserable, or the scale sticks and you're unhappy, then when you get down to your point B, maybe you'll be less likely to be so lackadaisical about letting the weight come back on. Maybe you'll say no thank you to the cocktails. Maybe you'll say no thank you to the chips or the donuts or the party food or whatever it is. So again, sometimes it just sticks. And then I have some people, you know, I tell you, please God, do not weigh yourself more than once a week. Pick a day where your schedule is fairly normal, fairly consistent. Wake up in the morning, naked, get on the scale. Use the potty, naked, get on the scale. And some people are literally weighing themselves every day, or even worse, 2-3 times a day. And it makes me want to wrap my hands around your fabulous little necks and strangle you a little bit and shake you while strangling you, because it's insanity. So when you wake up in the morning, I actually just had a guy who said, you know, I haven't lost weight, but it might be due to constipation. Bingo! Because when we put food in, it counts. And so if you're standing there, you know, I'm going to use a round number, you're 200 pounds naked. If I hand you a 32-ounce water bottle, all of a sudden you're going to weigh 202 pounds because I've given you a 2-pound water bottle. Now, if you drink the water and you put the bottle on the side, you will still be 2 pounds more because you have 2 pounds worth of water in you. Now, does that mean you actually weigh too much more? You have 2 pounds more of fat or muscle or bone? No, it's just a content you put in. And so if you have put in breakfast, lunch, and dinner and nothing's come out, yes, that weighs more. And so we have to allow our body to go through its natural changes. I kid you not, there are people that will get on the scale in the morning and it'll say 200 pounds and they feel good. Get on the scale at lunch, after breakfast and lunch, and then they're like, I gained 4 pounds. No, you didn't gain 4 pounds. You had breakfast, lunch, and some beverages. So I need you to calm down and I need you to have a regular schedule. We are looking for a downward trend or a trend of maintenance. So if you're trying to lose weight week after week after week, we want to see the number on that graph go down. We want to see that line graph making a downward slope. If you start to upward slope and that continues, then obviously you're butchering the formula. You're not sticking to it. You're not being honest with yourself. And then it's you're going in the wrong direction. But if your line graph goes down, 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 and then the night before you get on the scale, you've had some Asian cuisine jacked up with sodium, and you get on the scale the next morning and it's up 2 pounds, don't freak out. Don't freak out. Get on the scale the next week and you'll probably see that line graph go down, especially if you're doing the right thing. So our body weight fluctuates throughout the day. No big deal. You know, if you weigh 200 pounds and I put a heavy jacket on you, you may weigh 205. We take the jacket off. Now you're 200 pounds again. So that's the food going in and out of your body. Now, of course, some of those nutrients stick. And if you've eaten a whole lot of calories and a whole lot of fat, then yeah, it's going to stick and you're going to gain some weight. But if you are sticking with the formula, the trend should be downward over time. And so what I tell people is I say, stay the course. And then even if you get injured and you can't exercise, stay the course. Your eating habits are the absolute most powerful tool when it comes to weight loss. So whether you've broken your toe or both of your legs, you should still be able to lose weight based off of your eating habits alone. All right, so moving on. Can I gain weight on healthy food? Absolutely, you sure can. Lots and lots of people come to me and they go, Fitz, I don't understand why I'm overweight. I eat so healthy. Yeah, you eat very healthy. I'll have them make a food journal for me and send it to me. Every single time, they're just eating far too much of the good stuff. So just because you eat wisely, you make good, healthy, nutritious choices, doesn't mean it's a free-for-all on quantity. You have to be able to manage your intake. And so, of course, some foods you can eat more of than others. And so you know, we say quinoa and broccoli, both very healthy. You could probably eat close to a limitless amount of broccoli without gaining weight. But if you ate yourself a limitless amount of quinoa, you're going to gain weight. And so you have to be moderate about that. Oil. I love this argument. So I advise people not to purposely add grease, added calories, added fat to their food. And that comes in butter. That comes in oil. That's really the two that I like to focus on. And so people will fight me to the death on oil, which I always find is fabulous. And it's always someone who literally has no education in nutrition or fitness, and they read some articles, but they want to go toe-to-toe with me, which is enjoyable and entertaining. But so we'll start with butter. Here's the deal with butter. We'd all happily put our finger on the butter dish and take a lick of the butter, right? It's salty, it's good. There's some genuine flavor to butter that we can all appreciate. Would you ever take a bottle of oil and take a swig? What? Would you? The answer is no. Nobody takes a swig of oil because it doesn't actually taste great. And I'll have folks say, well, I have to add oil to my food because of flavor. Really? Which oil is it you love to drink in your spare time? Which oil is so good that you could just lap it up with your tongue at the edge of the bowl? That would be none of them. So oil is not adding tremendous flavor to your food. Now, does it add a little bit? Sure, but it's usually seasoning. So even when we get that bowl of oil at the Italian restaurant, they've seasoned that with salt. There's peppers. There's other things that go into it. It's not just oil we're trying to get onto our bread. And so if you have a chicken breast, say you're really hungry, you can either have one chicken breast for 100 calories or we'll go for a 200 calories. Sorry. So we're going to have two chicken breasts for 200 calories. That's just grilled with some salt and pepper on it. Or with one teaspoon of oil, which is 100 calories, you could have one chicken breast with some oil on it. And so if you choose the oil, you get half as much if we're talking chicken breasts. Which is going to fill you up more if you're hungry? One chicken breast with some oil or two chicken breasts? I would say two chicken breasts. And so bang for your buck food-wise, it doesn't really pay to add oil to your food. And then people go, well, how do I cook my food if there's no oil or butter? Well, you use Teflon pans, or you use the microwave, or the toaster, or the oven, or the barbecue, or the lean mean griller machine, or you just use some darn Pam baking spray. It's not so complicated. And so if you want oil, get rid of it. I mean, it's just a dumb thing to have. If you're trying to lose weight, get rid of the oil. You don't need it. Or, I mean, you could keep it, and you could keep the extra calories that come with it, the extra calories that are unsatisfying. But that's a choice you have to make. But if you want to cut some severe calories from your day without sacrificing quantity of food, cut out the added grease. Use cooking spray. Use Teflon. It's a simple, stupid way to move about the world. Use a steamer. There's it's boil, broil, grill, bake, boil, lean mean grilling machine, roast, toast, barbecue, microwave. There's all these other options. Just don't fry or saute. That's fair. I think that's very fair. So, oil and butter, nix that. And then the next question I get a lot is, should I replace the calories I have burned? Not if you're trying to lose weight, because when you go to the gym and you exercise, maybe you're trying to get strong and build your cardiovascular endurance, and I support that, obviously. But a lot of the time, people go to the gym when they're trying to lose weight because they're trying to burn calories. So why would you replace the calories you just burned if you're trying to lose weight? That's like working overtime to make extra money and then immediately spending that extra money because you have it. If you're trying to save for something or earn something, you accumulate it. And so calories burned will help in your weight loss unless you replace them and then you negate all the calories burned. So don't do that. Now, there's a caveat to that statement. If you are an endurance athlete, and I'm not talking about someone who does Zumba, rides a bike for an hour, plays soccer for an hour. I'm talking about someone who's going to be training at length. That's an hour and a half or more. If you feel like you are depleted and you could use some extra calories, well, then of course. But keep it within reason. And so if you went on an 8-mile jog and that took an hour and a half, you may be able to get by with a banana or a glass of skim chocolate milk or a Clif Bar or a Kind Bar. But you don't need a Big Mac and fries. You know what I'm saying? People tend to go overboard, and especially endurance athletes. Most people training for an endurance event gain weight. And it's so frustrating for them. And it's obviously very frustrating for me because I know these people are working so hard. They're showing elite discipline by getting up at the crack of dawn and going to push their bodies to the limit by going further and faster. And then they sabotage themselves with the mentality of, I'm a marathon runner, I'm a triathlete, I can eat whatever I want. No, you can't. Not if you're trying to lose weight. And there's no reason you can't train for a marathon and lose weight. It's been done. It's been done safely before. I've got people in my Hottie Body Fitness Challenge to prove it, and they're doing great. And you know what happens if you're a big person and a little bit of a too big person trying to accomplish a marathon? When you're training, if you lose weight, all of a sudden you get faster and the race becomes easier because there's less of you pounding down on your feet and your joints. Being lighter, being more whippy is a benefit. You know, being more muscular, lighter, whippier is certainly a benefit to being an endurance athlete. So if you're doing above and beyond, again, not an hour at the gym, I'm talking an hour and a half outside killing it, have some extra calories if you feel depleted. Absolutely. Just don't go overboard with it and keep track of it. Keep track of it in your food journal or your log or, you know, if you're keeping track on your cell phone. But don't have the mentality that you can eat whatever you want because you're training for a half marathon or a 10K or an Ironman. I don't care what you're training for. You can never compensate for reckless eating, period. End of story. Got it? Boy, I'm on a rant today, right? I sure am. And I'm going to take a little educational pause break to tell you that I love the feedback I'm getting from so many of you saying that you like that I bully you and you're at the gym and you're doing better. And Kelly just reached out today to say that she's been working harder with weights and now she can do 6 full-blown push-ups on her feet. And everybody's kind of saying that I'm giving them the kind of kick in the can that they need to do more. And that thrills me till no end. So keep doing that. Make sure you have a Bossy Fitz Kohler sitting on your shoulder whenever you sit down to eat, whenever you go out to exercise. And if I can be of service pushing you to do better, what a luxury for me. So going back to our topics, and here's a really good one. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to start majoring in the majors. And yes, we're detailed when we're counting calories, and that's important. But I hear some wackadoo stuff. I hear some really wackadoo stuff. And so recently, I was, I'm rubbing my eyebrows because the frustration. Someone who is in, a profession that has nothing to do with health or fitness. Basically, someone who has no legitimate knowledge of much other than hearsay and blah, blah, blah. And the big argument was, diet soda makes you gain weight. Or on the flip side, prevents you from losing weight. No, that's untrue. It's just simply untrue. So diet soda is not healthy like a raspberry. It's not the gold standard. Water is the gold standard. But it also isn't going to kill you. In fact, I don't know anybody who's died over diet soda. And so is it the perfect choice? Maybe not. But is it a good substitution? Something that's a huge step in the right direction from full sugar soda or full sugar juice? Absolutely. Does it have 0 calories? Yes. And that's really what we're going to focus on right now. Because the formula for losing weight versus gaining weight is if you have extra calories, you gain weight. If you have less calories than you burn, you lose weight. And so very adamant, well, diet soda is definitely going to make you gain weight. It's definitely going to prevent you from losing weight. And I got to tell you that I have been drinking Diet Coke since I was a teenager. And do I drink it do I drink it nonstop? No. But is it something I do? Yeah. And you know what? I am a very lean, hard girl. The Diet Coke is doing nothing to affect my body negatively. And in fact, it allows me, it's a very satisfying alternative that satisfies my sweet tooth and the carbonation thing. I really enjoy it. And then I move on and I'm a healthy eater and I have lots of produce and some lean meat and some lean dairy and some whole grains. And I can do that because I have a Diet Coke here and there and I have some unsweet tea here and there sweetened with Splenda. And I feel really good about that. And so if you're someone who partakes in a zero calorie Powerade or a zero calorie Crystal Light or a diet soda, don't be fooled by these idiots telling you you're going to die of diet soda. Who dies of diet soda? Do we know that person? No. And then, of course, be careful who you're taking your advice from. I mean, it was one of those things on Facebook, and I almost engaged, and then I just thought, I just can't do this. So, you know, if you were stranded at sea with no food, but you had cases and cases of diet soda, do you think there's a shot in hell when they found you 2 weeks later, you wouldn't be emaciated? That diet soda is not going to keep weight on you. It might keep you satisfied. It might keep you from being thirsty, but it's not going to keep the weight on you. If you have no food, you are going to come off of that ship that's been stuck at sea a much trimmer person. Now, if you were trying to lose weight and you were doing the right thing and you're eating wisely and you're exercising and you're drinking diet soda, it is certainly not going to keep the weight on you. And so people pay for studies and people pay for results. But I assure you this, if you are doing the right thing, and that includes diet soda here and there or a zero calorie Crystal Light or whatever, it's not going to stop you from losing weight and certainly not going to make you gain weight. So it's just a dumb discussion. It's a really stupid, dumb, ignorant discussion, and I'm sick of hearing it. And here you go. You're getting it from me today. Don't be fooled. And again, don't listen to people who have no credentials in the subject. I got to tell you, even MDs often have no clue how to guide people on exercise or eating wisely. What they should do is they should refer people to fitness experts and nutritionists. And they do. They do. If you have diabetes and you go to an endocrinologist, the endocrinologist knows that nutrition is so important. He's not going to tell you what to do, or she's not. They're going to send you to a nutritionist who knows how a diabetic should be eating. And so, don't listen to these people on Facebook. If their credentials aren't similar to mine, or they don't have registered dietitian, move on. Put that little emoji with the eye roll and then move on. I got to tell you, when so many years ago, I wrote a cookbook. It was called The Everything Flat Belly Cookbook. I'm very proud. It's a great book. You could still get it on Amazon, I'm sure. But then I was contracted. My literary agent had that same publishing house. They liked me. I liked them. And they asked me if I could write a book called 365 Ways to Boost Your Metabolism. And I agreed. And they put me under contract, and they were going to pay me a flat fee up front. And that was fine. I didn't want to deal with residuals back then. And so I write this book. And I, you know, the things we're talking about is walk further across the parking lot, take the stairs. There's a lot of things you can do throughout the day to actually get you moving more, build more muscle. Snacking often keeps the furnace of your metabolism going. You know, your metabolism's kind of like a fire. And so every now and then the fire starts to dull down and you throw in a twig and then it lights up again. That's your metabolism. So you can do things to keep those fires raging. And so I turn in the draft and they, you know, approve, blah, blah, blah. But then they return it to me with a chapter on negative calorie food and a chapter on supplements. And this negative calorie food thing just doesn't exist. There is no food that burns more calories in the digestive process than it does with consumption or versus your intake. And so I, of course, responded and said, listen, I don't know where this stuff comes from, but it's inaccurate and it's lying and we can't include it. And then the stuff about the supplements, it was stupid. And there was some stuff like eat cinnamon. Really? Really? We're going to focus on how much cinnamon can you eat and what actual impact could that make on your weight, right? And then the supplements. And so I responded, and I responded, I should have let my literary agent do it, but I was so mad that I responded individually, which is kind of how I roll. So I say, listen, this is a bunch of hoopla and I'm not taking advantage of the consumer and I'm not lying to them and I'm certainly not putting my reputation on the line over the stupid chapter on supplements. What the hell's going on? And then, but this is the other thing. I had a friend who was a registered dietitian write a letter stating that this negative calorie food thing was a load of crap and inaccurate and stupid. I had a friend who was a pharmacist who wrote a letter talking about how all of their suggestions could be really hazardous to some people, especially if they're dealing with various medical issues or if they're on certain medicines. I mean, you just don't randomly tell the general public to take XYZ. And then I had a physician write a letter. And you know what I got back in response? But from the publishing company, they said, yeah, we know it's not true, but this is what's selling right now. People will buy it if we have these chapters. And so I said, I can't have anything to do with this because it's crap. And so basically what they did is they took my name off the book. They kept my work. They took my name off the book and hired some cheap sellout loser to put her name on the book that would stand by all of this garbage suggesting that there was negative calorie food and supplements. So, you know, of course I was disappointed that the book I had worked hard on was ripped out from under me. And now many of my words were being attached to this sellout loser. But I couldn't be more proud that I wasn't willing to engage. And I still got paid, but having an extra book to my credit certainly would have been beneficial to me professionally. But you know what? Nothing means more to me than being honest with you and my integrity and the facts, you know, providing you guys with the truth and not taking advantage of you. Because what's meaner than to take advantage of the general public that wants nothing more than to be fitter, to be trimmer, to feel good about their body, to live longer. And so these raging dirtbags, I gotta say it, who are selling all these pills and shakes and powders, man, do I think low of them, because they have no consideration for you and your hopes and your dreams and your goals and your health. They're just trying to make some quick cash, and who cares who suffers for it. So, you know, major on the major. I can't tell you that looking for silly things like calorie burning food, or it's just ridiculous. And then all the foods that have the word weight loss in front of them, walk away, because really, is there such thing as weight loss water? Is there weight loss banana? I mean, the things that actually promote weight loss because they are low calorie, high nutritious, high satisfaction. Is there a weight loss apple? It's preposterous. And when you look at a food or a box or a can or a bottle or a jar and it's got the word weight loss on it, give it the hand, walk away. And if someone's trying to sell you something with the word weight loss on it, you know what to say. Just say no. And you could carry my photo around with you. I'll give you one of my old kickboxing photos and tell them, say, I'm going to tell her. I have a friend who, I love her. I actually love this person. It's almost like, you know how if you're a Republican, you got lots of friends that are Democrats. If you're Democrats, you got lots of friends who are Republican. It doesn't matter. You all love each other. You have this annoying thing, but you still love each other anyway. So I got lots of friends, and so many of them sell this crap. And they probably try and, hide their advertisements from me online so I don't see them, because they know I would be very disappointed. But I have this friend, she's always doing these direct marketing things. It kills me. And sometimes it's candles and sometimes it's plastic cups with pictures on them. But she was selling this quote unquote weight loss coffee ones. Oh my God, I just wanted to roll over and die. I thought, stop it. Just stop it. And in fact, she eventually started selling some sort of pills or something, and the mutual person wasn't a friend. She was someone who friended me on Facebook. She reached out to me. She got my phone number and she called, and I ripped into her on how it was snake oil and lies, and she got so mad. And what had happened is the friend I really like, who sells all these various things, including weight loss coffee, the girlfriend that I have, she had tried to sell the products that this jerk who was calling me were selling, and she ended up in the emergency room with heart palpitations and some other issue. So, you got to tell these people no. And then I think it's good for society to tell them what you think of them. Say, stop trying to take advantage of me. Go make an honest living instead. Thank you. And then here's interesting. I have my dental hygienist. And so I talk about my friends. I think, this one, she's a really nice girl. She has two kids, an older and then a younger. She's really nice. But every time I go to get my teeth clean, she starts complaining about her weight. Now, mind you, she's a petite thing. I don't know what she's complaining about, but people just like to do that. And I'm stuck there with my mouth open. And I think it was last year where she started telling me that she was doing the Beachbody crap. And I said, are you kidding me? You know that doesn't work. Oh, I know. I spent the money on it. Of course it didn't work. And now I got all these shakes sitting around. I know it doesn't work, but you know, my friend said, and I said, I told you, don't fall for that. I know. And then so last time I was in with her, she tells me she's starting to take this Advocare stuff. And I said, what are you doing? It doesn't help you lose weight. Stop doing that. You just need to eat wisely and exercise. I know, and she always has excuses why she can't exercise because her son plays baseball. And I say, go walk around the field while he's playing. You don't have to sit your butt on the bleachers. Move. I know, and I'm copying her little redneck accent because we're in the country here, and it's charming. I actually love it, but I know. So I'm sitting there, and she continues to go on making excuses and why she's buying this crap. And I go, okay, stop. I said, what if I told you there was a pill you could take and you didn't have to brush your teeth or floss anymore? She goes, well, that would be dumb. I said, oh, thank you so much. Because in order to be fit and lean and healthy, you have to exercise and eat right. You can't take a pill and have it all fixed for you. You can't get some quote unquote weight loss shake or some supplement or powder. None of that works. And she went, oh, like it finally dawned on her that I was able to relay all of this in teeth terms. In order to have healthy teeth, you must brush, you must floss. There is no way around it. There's absolutely zero way around brushing and flossing to have healthy teeth. And there is no cream, goo, whatever that will replace those things. And but I had to stop in the middle of a dental appointment. I was like, let this out. And I ripped her a new one. And I'm hoping that she will get it through her fat head because she's a great girl. And I would really love to not be tortured for 50 minutes hearing about dumb choices. I'd rather her sharing her proud moments of exercising, waking up early, taking the baby for a walk in the stroller, choosing bananas over crackers, you know, those kind of things. But really, it's big picture. The answer is always going to be exercise, eat right, choose the healthy foods that are satisfying to you so you don't have to eat too much of them. When you exercise, challenge your body, cardiovascular, strength, flexibility, balance training. You should be doing all of those things, and you should be doing them in a way that challenges your body. Here's a question I was asked at the gym. So the place I work out, there's three gyms. One of them is solely for women. And I like that place. I like it a lot. Nice crowd. And I get to be lazy there. I'm lazy anywhere. Well, not lazy with my exercise, but it's just a quieter gym. And so one of the older women on the way out, I was leaving. She said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. And she said, so this gym is closing for a month, all of October. They're renovating it. And I'm sure it's going to be stunning when it's done. But she's a little intimidated to go to the bigger co-ed gym. She said, I have a bike at home. Should I do bicep curls, lift weights while I'm riding the bike? And that's a question that I get a lot. I actually got that during my clinic this weekend in Detroit. And the answer is absolutely not. And so often we're strength training. If you're running and you're climbing up a hill, well, boy, are you making your glutes and your quads stronger. If you are kickboxing every time you hit that 150-pound heavy bag, yes, you are building strength. If you go to a stadium and climb stairs, yes, you are building lower body strength. But I do not want you to try and do quote-unquote weightlifting or strength training while you're doing cardiovascular exercises. And so we'll start with walking with ankle weights. Does that actually, if you put 2-pound, 3-pound weights on your ankles or 8 pounds, does that make your legs any stronger? Not really. Strength training is done in a way where you tax the muscle physically. You make a give out within about 10 reps. And that isn't going to happen at the end of an 8-pound weight where you strap around your ankle. And really what's worse is that it's so damaging on your joints because every time you extend your leg, that weight on your ankle goes, it kind of whips out at the knee. So your knee is being yanked on, your ankles are being yanked on, your hips are being pulled on. It's so traumatic on your joints. So never, ever, ever strap anything to your ankles that are heavy because it's so bad on the joints of your lower body. And I tell you, screwing with your joints is not a good idea if you plan to move around for the rest of your life. And then the people carrying the weights, the same thing. Every time you extend your arm, it's bam, bam, yank, yank, yank on your elbows, your wrists, your shoulders, and your back. So do not combine those two. It's a nightmare. And really, you're getting diminished benefits because you can't go as fast if you're holding the weights. So you're limiting your cardio and respiratory benefits. And because you're lifting such a light weight so you can hold it for 30 to 60 minutes, you're definitely not gaining any strength because strength training should be done in a way where you're exhausted in 40 seconds. And so it's not beneficial. It's completely dangerous. And then if you were to do hiking, for example, and you were going to wear a weight vest, as long as you're staying low impact, well, you could do that while hiking, but you can't run in a weight vest. And why? Because all of a sudden the discs between your spinal column and your vertebrae are going squish, squish, squish. And the last thing we want to do is compress your discs. Awful on your hips, awful on the whole thing. So separate those two. Do not walk, do not run, do not cycle while holding any sort of weight or strapping them onto you. And then the other worst thing you could do, oh my gosh, there's this guy. So there's a gym I work out when I visit California, and I'm there a lot, and I see this man, and he's on the treadmill. Let's talk about the treadmill, number one. I love the treadmill. I've talked about it before. I think it's a great indoor training tool. You get to walk, you get to run, you get to climb hills. There's so many wonderful reasons for a treadmill. It's indoor, excuse-free, the weather, the time of day, nothing can deter you when you're on a treadmill. However, it's really freaking dangerous. A treadmill is super dangerous. People slip on those things, they fall, they trip, they fly off the back. Little kids get their fingers ripped off, skin ripped off their hands. There's head trauma. What was it? The guy who, what was her name? His name? One of the husbands of the Facebook owner's sister. What do they have, Twitter or something? Anyways, he flew off the back of a treadmill at a resort in the Caribbean and died. So it's dangerous, a treadmill. It's wonderful, but it's certainly something you should not lose focus on. Well, this dude in this gym in California, he gets on with 15-pound dumbbells. He's marching away, and it kills me. It just kills me because not only is a treadmill dangerous? But now think about if he trips and falls while holding 30 pounds of steel. He's definitely dead or brain damaged. Or maybe the guy on the treadmill next to him gets a 15-pound dumbbell tossed at his head. It's just a nightmare waiting to happen. And so I've seen it a few times. Finally, the last time I was there, I addressed it with one of the staff members. I said, hi, my name is Fitz Kohler. I don't normally do this, but I'm a fitness expert. You can look at the credentials here, but what that guy's doing over there is going to get either him hurt, the people surrounding him hurt, and it's going to get your gym sued 6 ways to Sunday. Well, I thought that was dangerous. And of course, this is a really nice person who's making minimum wage, working at a gym, doesn't have a lot of savvy in fitness, doing his best, right? So I see you have to stop him from doing that. Well, I'll talk to the management, but oh my gosh, can you imagine? Imagine you're on the treadmill or the bike or the stepper, and now some dude, you know, he misses a step, and there's 15-pound dumbbells flying across the room. It just makes no sense. So please don't do that. Please do not do that. So, you know, fitness is it's a simple stupid. It really is. And I have a master's degree in the most simple stupid thing in the world, which I don't know if that makes me brilliant or not so interesting. However, it's not so complicated. And I hope this is resonating with you. You know, stick with the exact formula for weight loss. Pursue all areas of fitness, cardiovascular strength, balance, flexibility. Do each thing in a way that challenges you. So if you're doing cardiovascular training, you should huff and puff. When you're strength training, you should be grunting. When you're doing balance training, you should be wobbling. And when you're stretching, you should be wincing. You should do that squint when you make the face where it looks like you're smelling something bad. That's because you're challenging your body. And so that's what you need to major on. If somebody offers you all these pill shakes, powders, those ridiculous wraps, you say no, thank you. And then the other thing you have to do is not make excuses. And so I will say the exact same thing to 1,000 people. They will all hear the same information. Yet individually, one by one, they'll say, well, I'm different because I just had a baby last year. No, it's still the same thing. You still got to do these exercise things. You still got to eat wisely. Oh, well, when I was a kid, I had knee surgery. So it's not any different for you. And so whatever's going on in your head, whether it's menopause or you sprained your ankle once, or you had a bad dream once, or you work a lot, the answer is still the same. We have to major in the majors. That means you're constantly looking for higher quality food, to eat the right amount, limit the intake so you're not going overboard, and then challenge your body. And yeah, it can be hard sometimes. You know, I had a busy travel weekend, but I still made sure I got to working out. And sometimes it meant I just, instead of going straight back to my hotel from the conference center, I walked further. I viewed the city. I took a few laps around Detroit. When I got in my room, I didn't really have time to make it down to the gym. So I did squats, I did lunges, I did push-ups, I did some planks. I did all of those things. And so the onus is on you. The onus is on you to find a way. You can't keep posting on Facebook that you're depressed and that's why you don't exercise. No, your job is to say, damn it, I'm depressed and I need to dig my way out of this hole. We know for a fact that exercise works to decrease depression, improve happy feelings, increase endorphins. And so you have to be responsible for you. I know it's hard. Having kids is hard. I've got some. Owning a business is hard. I've got some. Working for other people is hard. I've done that. You know, we all have those obligations that make life tough. And you know what? That's what's going to make it sweeter when you get to your point B. You're going to say, you know what? I got 9 kids and I got 9 jobs and I work 27 hours a day, but I did it. Look at me now. I eat well. I'm going to keep this weight off for life. I feel great. I just did my first 5K. I'm joining a soccer team. I've got no time, but I'm doing it anyways. And so you're going to look in the mirror. You're going to love what you see. You're going to buy some new dang jeans and they're going to look great, feel great. You're going to spend any amount of money on those jeans that look great and feel great. And if you had adversity and something that held you back, well, you're just going to feel even better. And I assure you that it's not easy on anyone. This stuff, it's not complicated, but it can be hard, and that's okay because there's not much having that isn't hard to get to. There's not much worth having that isn't hard to get to. And so all of my accomplishments are hard fought, and I love them more because they were. And I'm often running around tired, and that's okay because I've got a lot of wonderful things to accomplish. But you can do this. You just have to stay the course. So if you have heard absolutely nothing else from me today, stay the course. Whatever obstacle you're facing today, stay the course. Find a way. Your eating habits, if you're sticking to your formula, whether your weight moves today, next week, or maybe not even till next month, stay the course. I promise this formula will get you to your weight loss goals. If you are trying to become stronger, faster, leaner, more energetic, pain-free, stay the course with your exercise. Do not give up. And if you have a hiccup where you pause, jump right back in. That's it. That's it. And if I have been able to kick you in the can today and get you to do better than you had planned to do, well then, my job is done. I appreciate you guys listening today. Thank you so much for always liking these episodes. That helps a lot. Please share them, spread the word. Remember, I'm not charging anything for any advice I give out. I'm just trying to change lives here. So I hope you'll help me do that. Visit me at Fitsness on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Reach out, say hello, share your before picture, share your after picture, send me success stories, send me questions. I want it all. And most importantly, before you leave, stick around 20 seconds and listen and learn about my Morning Mile program. I'd like to change the face of the next generation too. Thanks, peeps. Now it's your turn to get to work. Bye.
Hi, this is Rudy Novotny, the voice of America's Marathons. We all love how much running has benefited every aspect of our lives, so much so that most of us only wish we'd started sooner. Wouldn't it be wonderful to give the opportunity to children of today? Well, you can. The Morning Mile is a before-school walking and running program that gives children the chance to start each day in an active way while enjoying fun, music, and friends. That's every child, every day. It's also supported by a wonderful system of rewards, which keeps students highly motivated and frequently congratulated. Created by our favorite fitness expert, Fitz Kohler, Morning Milers across the country have run over 2 million miles and are having greater success with academics, behavior, and sports because of it. The Morning Mile is free to the child, free to the school, and is inexpensively funded by businesses or generous individuals. Help more kids get moving in the morning by visiting morningmile.com. Champion the program at your favorite school or find out more about sponsorship opportunities. That's morningmile.com. Long may you run.